really powerful song tonight called Keep Pushing from REO Speedwagon. It's a great song. If you've heard that song and love that song or rock that song in the 80s, raise your hand. If you're contending to rock it today, raise your hand. If you've never heard that, raise your hand. I personally want to talk to you and rebuke thou it. And I'll play that up east. That figures. Will you guys pray for me, please? Father God, I pray that you would give us ears to understand. Lord, it's tough. I pray that you would give us that grace. Actually, you have given us that grace to endure or to keep pushing on. Give us ears to hear what you would say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys know we're in the middle of a series, right? Most of you know we're in the middle of a series called, So You Say You Want to Grow, huh? So Lynn and I had a discussion before we even get into this. Lynn and I had a discussion the other day, and we were talking. You guys ever see Hotel Rwanda? Have you seen it? Raise your hand. Rwanda, it's a complicated country, right? Well, in the, I think that's what would have been the 80s, maybe early, no, Clinton would have been, so early 90s. Rwanda had some troubles between the Tutsis and the Hutus. I'm going to mess this up because I always get who was in control at the time of all the troubles messed up. I believe the Hutus were in control, and the Tutsis wanted to have control because the Belgians at another time had come in and decided, you have better features than the Hutus or Tutsis, and then they divided them. They basically said, you guys are really pretty, and you guys not so much, so they created two classes to simplify, right? So what happened was, the people that were in power, and again, I think it was the Hutus, but I could be wrong on this, but it's okay because it doesn't affect the story. The Tutsis said, we want to take power back. So they decided they were going to kill everybody. They were going to hack them all to pieces, and over 1 million people died in this problem, including the president and the prime minister's family. Well, hit freeze on that. Let me come back to that. While I was on the airplane coming home from Uganda, I sat next to a man who was raised in Rwanda, and we happened to be touched down there for about an hour, and I was like, man, this place is really sketchy. And he said, no, actually, it's not. Rwanda has become a model for all of Africa. And he goes, you just left Uganda, and you saw the roads, and the infrastructure is terrible. He goes, in Rwanda, it's completely been rebuilt. Great roads, people taking care of their brothers. The country is spotless and clean. And he said, I think it happened because of forgiveness. Okay, wow, explain. He said, well, when the prime minister, when they got control of the country again, he was getting pressure from the people that were there, the Hutus, to go out and get revenge on all the people up, round them up, hack them up, and cut them to pieces. And then he said this, he goes, if we do that, aren't we just like them? Why would we want to do that? Because we're doing the same thing to them that they did to us. We will round them up for justice, and we'll imprison them, but not going to do that. We're going to choose to forgive them. And through all of that, and I'm sure there's a lot more going on, but through all of that, Rwanda has become a model for the rest of Africa on how to put things together. Is that amazing? But Lemma's telling me a story. Back to that. Okay, that's that. Now unfreeze the other frame. We had already frozen over. I think we're on four windows popped up right now, right? You still with me? So we were having a conversation. She's reading a book by a woman who happened to go through the persecution. And she was imprisoned in a bathroom about the size of one of our bathrooms with seven other women for 90 days. Can you imagine? She said, well, get this. She said, while that was going on, she was listening through the paper-thin walls and could hear people that she grew up with that had been in her home for dinner turning people in to be killed and taken away. Okay? So we asked the question to each other, wow, what's going to happen when that starts happening here? Don't you think for a second that what happened there couldn't happen here and we're not in the early signs of potentially? We believe that Jesus, we're going to keep praying for our country to get on its face and repent and be humbled. And he says, God says, if you do that, if you humble yourself and repent, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive your land. And I'll heal it. But we haven't seen a whole lot of evidence of that happening. But the question we had is, when it comes our time, if it becomes our time, are we going to turn coat? Are we going to turn our neighbors in? The Bible says brother against brother, you know, the whole thing at the end times. Can I suggest to you that the series that we've been talking about the last few months, if you don't learn and get a handle on this stuff, you might be a turncoat. You might be a Benedict Arnold. If you don't start adding to your faith now before the storm hits, you might be one of those people. I might be one of those people. The question we should ask, if it hit the fan, did I say that? If the mud hit the fan, would you be a turncoat? Would you be a Benedict Arnold? Would you be that? So all the things that we've been talking about the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, these are ways to fortify your faith before it happens, so when things happen, you're not caught by surprise, and maybe you can actually endure it. Make sense? So take this stuff seriously. I know we are. We should take this seriously. When Peter continually reminds us, I'm reminding you, we're going to get out to in a second, but he's just reminding and reminding. So when he's gone, you'll remember. So he's been gone for what, 2,000 years, 2,020 years? And he's still reminding us through his written word. So, kind of sobering, isn't it? Look to your neighbor and say, just unclench your butt cheeks, it's okay. It's okay. Just unclench them. It's okay, right? Just relax. Give the chair a break. Pete's sake. Right? Good job. Now listen, tonight, I have lots of notes. It's going to be one of those things. Here's what I'm praying tonight. In Jesus' name, you grab a handhold, just one little thing to hold on, and run out the door with a nugget. If we did that, I did my job. Okay? Okay. So where are we at? 3 Peter? The book of Hezekiah? Huh? Thank you, Mrs. Champagne. Only Mrs. Campbell, and she can't talk tonight, so otherwise I would have heard it. So I'm going to read this real quick, and then I'm going to jump over to Hebrews and talk specifically about our word for tonight. And we promised that we would read this again, so we're going to read it again. Remember that promise? We're going to read it every week, and every week, and every week, and every week, and ever. And eventually, 20 or 30% will be able to say, I know where we're at. Praise God. Maybe 40, Pete. 40? No, that's, okay, well, okay. We got to aim high, man. Okay, here we go. 2 Peter, now this is written by Peter, was an apostle. He would have walked with Jesus, okay? This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that he put Simon Peter. Suggests to me, just an opinion, that he's a just like you and me, he's a man, but he's also been called out, so I think it suggests to his humanity, and then the other part of the apostleship. So he's just a guy, right? Because in 1 Peter, only refers to himself as Peter. Okay. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. He was speaking to Gentiles, there weren't Jews, and it says, we're no better than you. Because of Jesus came, he leveled the ground. I'm speaking to Gentiles who stand now in the same grace that the Jews stand. Right? It's a big deal. Back then, especially Peter, if you remember, because Peter had a problem with the Jews. He actually wanted to separate, not the Jews, he wanted to separate and come over to the Jewish side. Remember that? Remember the argument? Paul called him out, said, hey man, what are you doing? Right? So it's kind of cool that we grow as we go, right? So Peter's growing. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. We talked about how many people have grace in your life? How many people have peace? I know some people in here that are struggling and don't have this. It's all available in the person of Jesus. That's where it comes from. This peace you've been searching for your whole life is found in the person of Jesus. It is what it is. It can't be found anywhere else. It's found in the person of Jesus. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. So all the attributes we're talking about, all the things we're talking about doing from knowledge and self-control and love and all that comes through, it's been given to you. It's our job to access it. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great, wow, and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. By the way, does the world seem a little bit corrupt right now? If you don't recognize it's corrupt, you might be rather corrupt. Just saying. But God made a way. Amen. I mean, if this looks normal to you, we really need to have a conversation. So you can escape that. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence or virtue. Moral excellence with knowledge. We talked about that. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Get into your Bible. Come to a church. Listen to the messages. Then don't go to lame church. Any church that makes God of the Bible look lame, it's like a special anointing. I don't know how they do it. It's like, how did you take the God of the Bible, the God that created everything, the God that wrote the Word and did all this amazing stuff and turn him into boring? It's got to be some kind of special, lame gift or something, you know? So if you're going to a church like that, stop and come here. We're also lame. We're just not as lame. But the cool thing about this church, everybody in this church, in this group that we know, has a story. From prison, from drugs, from alcohol, to being a stoner, to being a loser. That pretty much puts everybody in here. Amen. Right? We're all in the same boat. And these are examples of what God can do to a heart when it's turned over to Him. Right? And you can go and dig around, talk to people, and I guarantee they would love to share His story. Because it's His story. Allowing you to be a steward of His story. Okay. Knowledge, self-control. Anybody need help with that? Lynn does. Remember we talked about that last week? She was teaching church, and I said, oh, that sounds like Lynn. Okay, I'll deal with that later. That's great. And patient endurance. We're going to talk about that tonight. Patient endurance. And I believe next week, Donald Purdy will speak on godliness. And then I believe the following week, Tim will speak on brotherly affection, and brotherly affection will be wrapped up with Alpha on love. You say, Alpha on love? I get to know him a little bit. He's tough, but he's kind of soft in a good way, not a bad way. He's a softie. But he knows what love is. Love is an action. Okay, we're getting into that. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, eventually you'll stand before the Lord Jesus, and those who are born again will be asked the question, you were born again, praise God, come on in. But what did you do with my son while you were there? Did you grow? Did you get more knowledge? Did you learn to love the right way? Were you self-controlled? Were you trying to live a virtuous life? Were you doing all these things? And did you share it with people? Golly, check this out. I thought about this. Barry, remember I said I'd never been witnessed to before? Where's Barry at? Remember that? And I said, oh my gosh, I just thought about it. I got witnessed to and I forgot all about it, right? Do you remember who it was? No, that's another guy. But this was prior to me coming to a faith, saving faith. But I always think about it. And I wonder how many times I was witnessed to when my heart was hard and I didn't see it or recognize it. I got a feeling I've been witnessed to a whole lot more than I think I have, because the more that I walk and I grow in the grace and the knowledge, and the more he expands my mind, he takes me back to places when, oh, you missed it there, and you missed it there, and I sent a guy to you there, and I sent a girl to you there, and you heard a message there, and you saw this, but you were too hard and didn't want to receive it because you were too proud. You see, I had to break you down, Randy, bring you down, cut your knees out in front of, from underneath you. And by the way, I've done that a few times since I've been saved too. Sometimes God has a really good way of cutting us down to size. It's not pleasant. Nobody enjoys it, but it's necessary sometimes. But those who failed to develop this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove. Does it say work hard to be saved? It says work hard to prove that you really are among God, those that God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught. Because, you know, we're humans, and we forget things. I got to be honest, I know lyrics from the 80s, because face it, 80s were the best music. Don't start on my beat. Don't even start. Go back there and share with the champagnes, okay? Don't start on me. But I don't know what it is about me forgetting the lyrics I just learned. I have to relearn these things. I think the Word of God is like that. We need to keep planting it in our spirit, planting it in our spirit, planting it in our spirit, reading it, rereading it, meditating on it, doing it. Especially if you grew up in the 80s, you might want to do a little more. A little bit of the 90s, but we're not going to get into that, right? Okay, most of the 90s, whatever. But you get the point, right? Repetitiveness. Practice. 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 Coach. Practice. Really? Okay. Therefore, I would remind you these things, even though you already know them, and standing firm in the faith, and it's only right that it should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon lead this earthly life. How about this? Here's Peter, that just a little time before that ran like crazy, cursed the name of Jesus 3 times. And here he is, not thinking about himself at this point. He's thinking about those people that are going to be left behind. How about that? Talk about a guy that learned to love and a servant. That's a big deal. That's a good chance to go, amen. Because a lot of us get so wrapped up and concerned with us. What about your neighbor across the street that doesn't know Jesus? You're going to heaven. You'll be with them forever. Amen? Is that great news? That's great news. Thanks for dying for me, Jesus. It's really awesome. Can't wait to get there. All right? Okay. You guys are killing me. Okay. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. Peter saw it. You believe he's coming back? You guys ever wrap your head around that? Thinking maybe what you'll be doing when he returns? The Bible teaches that he's physically going to return to earth. And those that have placed their faith in what he did on that cross for him, he'll say, well, we'll be however you want to do that. Taken up in a twinkle of an eye, we'll be with him, right? So when he returns, are you ready? That's scary, isn't it? But he says so many times, don't fear. Do not fear. That's why I came. Because I know you're a loser. That's why I came. If you were winners before I got here, I wouldn't have had to die. I wouldn't have given up my life for you. You see, I knew you were all losers. About 7 billion on the planet. I'm okay with it. But I came and I gave my life for you. So that tells you you have value. Value is perceived value. It's what somebody would pay for you. Jesus paid for us with his precious blood. So that is an amazing thing. What are you worth, $100? $500? Cattle on 1,000 hills, my daddy owns them. In fact, he owns the hills too. So when he comes back, we should think about that. We should go to bed thinking, have you done everything to add to your faith, all the things we've been talking about? We're going to get into endurance in a minute. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, this is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Put a pen right there. When you're born again and you're found in him, guess what? God looks at you, Zach and Betty and Bella. He looks at you and says, this is my dear son who brings me great joy, because you've been given or imputed righteousness. It's been placed over you that God sees Jesus covering up all your funkiness. It's a big word. It's like a Greek word or something, probably. Funkiness. You're all funky. Look at your neighbor and say you're funky. But you know what? I love you. And more importantly, God loves you. And he imputed his righteousness as a covering, a sin covering for you. So when he looks at you, he doesn't see your funkiness. He sees his son. And so when he sees his son, that means he's pleased with you. And he's pleased with you. Isn't that great? And he likes you just like you are, not as you should be, because none of us are. That's the whole point. Or loves you. Okay. we're really not even into the message yet, guys. Okay? You guys okay? Because I think I got ripped off last week, did an 18-minute message. So I thought I'd really give it to you tonight, 2 hours. So relax, Ethan, I'm not really going to do this, but, you know, it could happen. I'm not going to do that. Okay. Because of that experience, we have even greater, what? Look at this. Greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay, what? You must kind of hang around and just kind of loosely listen. You kind of half in. I don't think it says. It says pay close attention to what they wrote. Does that mean you have to read the word? What if you look at the book and like, I've never read this. It's a huge book. Don't you think it'd be a great time to join a small group? Kind of hang out. Give us somebody who's been doing it for a minute. And thanks. It's just kind of easy segue right in there, you know. Wham. Just join it. You know, drink some coffee, eat some snacks. By the way, if you go to the Weber's and Tracy's, you're going to have some sick snacks. I'm just saying. But that's not the real food. The real food is the Word of God. And that's why you go to these groups, to rub elbows with each other and all that stuff and learn the Word of God, because we're supposed to what? Pay close attention. Right? To what they wrote, their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy of Scripture has ever come from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No! Those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. All that makes sense? And guess what? We're going to keep reminding you and reminding you. So tonight, we're going to talk about endurance. So, Reagan, I've got a whole bunch of notes. Post-its. Post-its all over my book. Thank you, Reagan. Get back there and take care of the kids. See that? That's happening. It's happening to you guys tonight right there. Right? Okay. Now, Lynn walked through this a couple of weeks ago. Was it last week when you did the Hey Girl? I thought it was so good. And, you know, sometimes when you read the Bible as much as we're hoping all of us are reading it, you gloss over it. You've been reading it so long, so sometimes that's why it's great to congregate together, because somebody might say something. I think Barry alluded to it a couple weeks ago. Somebody else says something. Did you hear that? Well, that's the same scripture I've been sharing with you for 6 months. Okay? But somebody else, well, this scripture is like that to me. It really spoke to me. This Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by chapter 12, verse 1 through like 3. Let me do it up here. It's easier to see. I didn't give it to you, did I, guys? Oh, I did. Great. Go me. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eye on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured for the sinful people. Then you won't become weary. Give up. After all, you've not given your lives in your struggle against sin. See, so many people giving up. I think they come to Jesus, they're all wild. It's just so amazing. And they're gone like 30 days later. It's like, what happened? What is going on here? Do you hear about the great horse race from 1976? Look at me, I'm drooping my shoulders. Do you know what this is, Annette? You're in a, what's that word, equestrian? Thank you. Are you familiar with this story? This particular race was 3,500 miles long. And they were doing it because, you know, everybody was the bicentennial craze all across. They were doing train rides. It was 200 years of celebration. This 3,500 horse race went from way upstate New York all the way to California by horse. 3,500 miles, 13 states. They were actually going to try to do part of it on the Oregon Trail, part of her DNA do on the Pony Express, and they even went through Donner's Pass. $25,000 grand reward. Well, wouldn't you know it? This is crazy. And it was a big deal. Japan was involved. China was involved. They were sending horses from all over. I had big stallions and steeds. One of them, Appaloosas. Several Appaloosas. I guess that's a big deal. I guess it'd be kind of like a Harley compared to a Suzuki. Just saying, Zach. It is what it is. My bad. It's probably not a good thing. By the way, mine's for sale. If anybody would see me after church. Anyway, there they are. They got those. They got those Tennessee Walkers. They got, name a couple other horses. Arabians. Okay, just relax, okay? Everybody's talking to me at once. Okay, just get it. Just picture this. All the best horses in the world, they'd been trained for this. They'd been sent other places and fed particular kind of alfalfa or whatever. All this stuff. I mean, they were ready and prepped for this race. You were given one horse and a backup horse, and they started out there. Now I'll tell you what happened. This fella, he said, well, you know, I think it was California. His last name was Norton. Norton? Last name was Norton. He didn't have a horse, but what he did have is two mules. You know what a mule is? Well, you could almost call it a half. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Smart people tell the other ones. That's really funny. So a mule is it's a female or a male donkey and a female horse coming together, and out of it you get a mule. Now, unbeknownst to the Arabian and those guys, I'm sure they knew, but this particular thing was tough. They weren't particularly fast, but they were slow and steady. And see, the thing is, Arabians took off. Boy, they were flying. Let me tell you what. They were kicking it. Boy, they were kicking those old mules. But you know what? Old Norton. Dum-ba-dee-dee-dum-ba-dee-dee-dum-ba-dee. I don't know if this is really going on, but in my mind it is. Dum-ba-dee-dee-dum-ba-dee-dee-dum. And you know what he's doing? He's stopping getting photo ops before selfies with the children. Great horse. He's like 50 feet high or whatever. Or mule, I'm sorry. Isn't he neat? And he's enjoying the ride. He's enjoying the journey while everybody else is so focused on getting there. You guys know where I'm going with this, right? Okay, so they just go. 14 weeks. 14 weeks later. A lot of the Arabians, they broke. A lot of the Appaloosas didn't make it. In fact, Norton's backup, by the way, you know what the name of this mule was? Leroy. Hold on. Hold on, Reagan. Let me get to my notes. His name was Lord Fauntleroy. Yeah, nobody could say it, so they just condensed it and said Leroy. Now, his backup was called Lady Eloise. Also, just a little mule. Well, they got there, and let me get my notes here. Well, it's going on. 91 teams from all over the world, from 18 years old to 69 years old, right? This fella here was 54. There were doctors, students, nurses, farmers, every kind of person you can imagine, right? They went everywhere. They did all this stuff. People broke down. Excitement was everywhere. And the coolest thing, they went through 18,000 shoes. And those aren't Nikes. Those are metal. I mean, and something happened in Missouri, as a matter of fact. You see, the vets weren't getting paid, and they said, you know, we're out. See ya. In Missouri. Now nobody would even show up, but that was at least they showed up back then. Anyway, they get there, they towel it all up, and I think our guy, our hero, Leroy, came in like 31st or 41st. You know, but he finished. But a funny thing happened. After all the penalties from the cheaters, and after they timed it all out, our guy won by 10 hours, and it made everybody upset. How could this happen? You know, it happened just like when Jesus came and chose Pete, who was in prison for years. It happened when Alpha was addicted to drugs, and we were addicted to drugs and alcohol. He came, Jesus chose the foolish things to shame the wise, so you're actually perfect specimens of grace, right? just like this horse. And we just keep plodding along, just like that mule. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, you're kind of a half. Say it at home. Good job. Good job, Carol. I'm very, we'll talk to you later. Get the eldership together. He just keeps on trucking. So wherever you are in your walk, don't worry about when you see people that know the Bible more than you, that know they know all the hymns better than you, they know all the things better than you. Just keep doing your thing. And the funny thing, when Leroy crossed the finish line, guess they said his ears went back and he was like, "Hee-yaw!" Almost like, yeah, this just happened, right? But every journey has to start somewhere. So I'm going to give you a few little tips that we came up with to help you in your endurance. Okay? Some practical steps. Because I'm thinking, okay, now that we know that we need to have endurance and all of these things, great, that's great, Randy. What can we do? You want to know what you can do? Thanks, Pete. Give me a head nod. That means yes, that's yet in Pete knees. A man, a few words, but I get the head nods. We've been on it together for a while. And Josh, you're kind of the same way. Yeah, same kind of head nod. I get it. I speak Joshanese. Will, I'm learning your language. He's a tough director, I will tell you that. Anyway, here we go. Be accountable. Be accountable. Be accountable. B-E-A-C-C. Then we can make a whole thing about it. Be accountable. Reagan, you never have a cheerleader, were you?
No.
Okay, good job. Who do you have in your life that speaks truth to you? Who do you have? And here's one for you. Are you tough enough to handle the truth? Because if you're in a group or you're running with somebody and you're always just whispering sweet nothings of how awesome you are and they never can tell you the truth, you can bet your bottom dollar when it comes time you won't have the endurance because you weren't challenged and you did not grow. So accountability would say, hey, what's up? Stop being such a baby. Stop being such a sore sport. Maybe put down the weed, put down the beer. You ever think about that? Maybe you should try that. If you did that, maybe you could start develop a little bit more. I'm just saying, hypothetically, nobody in this church, probably other churches up there. I know better. A friend of mine can't be here as often as this person would like. If he had it his way, he wouldn't be burdened with this affliction that's come to him, even though the affliction is what drove him to grace in the first place. So it's kind of a love-hate with the affliction. It's called disguised grace. I think I hate it, but yet I can't hate it because I love it, because it's the very thing that brought me to the end of myself and recognizing I need a Savior. I can't do it, right? But this affliction is the very thing that's also causing him not to be able to be in the presence of the believers as much as he would like. So we had a conversation on Wednesday morning. In case any of you smart ones are putting it together, it's Friday morning. So this person, I'm just going to use his Greek name, Janny Mamble. His name is Janny Mamble. The cool thing about having a group like that, we can be accountable. We can hold each other up and get different angles and look at different things and say, well, you know what? You can't get there. What a great trust that you've been given, a stewardship, if you will, of the time, because you seem to have more time than energy in some sense. What a great time to just study the Word of God and go deep with God and become prayer warriors. And one thing we need in this church are more prayer warriors, right? I said, think of it this way. God gave me this way. We were all talking together. I said, what would have happened? I think I talked to this about Brown Bag, but I'm bringing it up again. About accountability. What would have happened if John would have got a little bit salty because Peter, now John was Jesus' best friend. Peter denied him three times. In fact, cursed him. What would have happened if John would have got a little salty going, well, you know what? I think I'm going to leave this group. You know why? Because Peter got elected the leader of the group, and that's just baloney, Jesus. I'm out. You understand what I'm saying to you? No, John said, okay, I trust you. You know better who should be leading this group. Right? He could have got salty again, when Peter saw all of his friends systematically taken out, boiled, cut in half, crucified, and all this stuff. And at the end of it, there's just John. And then Jesus made it a way for John to be put on an island by himself. He's on this island. He could have got salty and said, I can't believe this. I should be sharing this good news. I should be walking around. And you stick me on an island over here. But God separated him, put him on the island of Patmos, so we now have the book of Revelation that's been blessing the church for 2,023 years. Not only that, it's the only book that promises blessing if you read it. But he didn't get salty because there was accountability, right? So my question again goes back, who do you have in your life that speaks the truth to you? And my question is this, when they speak the truth, do you cut bait and run and get mad at them? Because he told you the truth. There's some people in this church right now that I'd like to say something, but I know they would leave. That needs to be said. Reagan, I need to see you after church. I don't know what you're laughing at. Peter needs to see you too. Angie, you, John, okay, all of us, whatever. My point, are we growing? Are we growing? Are we allowing people to come into our lives? Are we allowing people to speak truth into our lives? Are we allowing that? I do. I have people up me all the time. I hate it, but it's good. In fact, one of the guys that spoke truth to me a lot, you'll hear from next week, Don Purdy. And surround yourself with winners. Stop hanging around losers.
Are we supposed to like rub shoulders and like take the gospel to people who need it?
Well, hello, yes. You're supposed to. Have relationships with people that don't know the Lord. Just make sure that you're getting more of what's in you into them and not so much what's in them in you. Just, you know, it's okay. So if you ever see me at a bar, don't be judging me. Not that I'm going to go hang out, but I might. Because I'm over. I've been healed in Jesus' name. And there are places that I go that maybe, God, you can't go right now. Or maybe there's places you go that I can't go. But if you're going on point and you're on mission, you're recognizing they need a Savior, don't be so, I'm just so holy, I just can't touch any of that. I can't. Come on, man. Do you see what I'm saying, guys? So surround yourself with winners, yes, but don't be so heavenly-minded, you know, of no earthly use. You know? Everybody just relax a little bit. Seems like it's kind of tight in here tonight. That's okay, though. Good. You throw a rock into the thing, and somebody says, ouch, guess what? That's who it's for. Simplify. I remember when we were playing hockey, I still think it's Jesus' favorite sport. In fact, I played with Rick. He was on my team. He was really good, and I wasn't. But I remember reading a book called, I believe it was Seizing Your Divine Moment by Erwin McManus, and I highly recommend it to anybody. But I remember reading this part where it said, it was Secrets of the Vine. That's what it was. But I recognized at this particular juncture, I was on the rink 5 nights a week. 5. Coached a team, played on 2 men's teams, and I'm thinking, the hockey thing wasn't so bad, but it was taking all of my time. I had no time to do anything else because I was always at the rink. If I would have kept that, not let go behind what's door number 2, Misfits, or at least my involvement, never would have happened. So I think God is calling sometimes to simplify your life. If you have a job that you have, that you can never be in service, you never go to Bible study, you can never do this, you can't do this because your job, you need to consider maybe getting different employment. That's hard, isn't it? Had a friend of mine ask one time, he goes, hey, I'm considering taking this job, and it's twice as much as I'm making now. I said, oh, that's great. More money to give the guy. I go, should I take it? And I go, how do I know? I'm still trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a question for you. If you take this God, will you be closer to Jesus or will you be further away? Oh, further away. And I go, what are we talking about then? I don't care how much money they offer you and they dangle that carrot in front of your face. If it's taking you away from the Lord, get rid of it. You guys know I'm right. And maybe it's not a job. Maybe it's a recreation. Maybe it's your, not you, David, just relax over there, I can tell you. Maybe you're hunting. Why? You know what I do? I hunt pheasants from January to February. I hunt quail from March to April, or I hunt, you know, bison from, you're gone all the time, you're hunting 10 months a year? Would you ever consider maybe just leaning it out a little bit? Leave a little more room for the Lord? Simplify? If you're wanting to develop endurance, you will. Because I can tell you, hockey and hunting and fishing and your job and all that stuff won't help you one diddly bit when it comes time. When it comes your time of testing, it won't help you. This stuff we're talking about, you need to develop before, not after. And maybe it's church stuff. Maybe you're kind of like so busy in church all the time that your alone time with Jesus is non-existent. Ask Mary and Martha about that one. Martha was constantly, I just got to get everything. You know, Jesus is coming to dinner tonight. And Mary's over there sitting at the feet of Jesus just soaking it up. Just, man, it's just so great to be with Jesus and learn from him. Well, I can't. I'm too busy serving him. Well, there's a fine line there. You see, Martha was making her home fit for a king, like a lot of us need to be. You know, we're his home now. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there needs to be a little cleaning going on in us to make it fit for a king to reside, for sure, right? You guys getting it? Simplify a little bit? And I'm doing the same thing. Don't sound like, oh, he's just got it all figured out. Okay. Ask Lynn. Don't ask Amanda. She'll really let you know what's going on. I'm trying to do, Barry's trying to do, Pete, Josh. We're all trying to do what you guys are doing, right? We're doing the same thing, right? Okay. So what was number one? Yes. Yes. What are you going to do about it? You going to go another Saturday? Great message. Wonderful. Great time. See you next Saturday. Don't do anything about it. Is that what you guys are going to do? No, we're not. We're going to act on it. Action steps. What was number two? Yes. And simplify. Simplify under the... Yeah. That's like a two with a little A. Let's say like a subset. Two would be simplify. Do you guys think there's something you've done in your past, in your present, that somehow you've outsinned your calling? Well, we know that to be true, but a lot of times we operate in that mode. Can I suggest to you as you simplify to take those thoughts, because who's ever made a bad mistake in their life? Who's ever made a really bad mistake even after you were saved? You know, you don't stop making mistakes and sinning and goofing up just because you're saved. You know, religion says this, man, I really screwed up, I got to get out of Dodge. A relationship with Jesus said, man, I really screwed up, I got to sit down and have a talk with my Father about this. The difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus. So simplify. Number three, we're getting close, guys. An hour and a half more, and you'll be out of here. Rest. Hey, Lynn. Reagan, take her back. Tell her we're not talking about rest like napping. Okay. Reagan's with you. Okay, great. Anyway, rest. You know what? Sometimes we work. You know, I like to have fun. Can we just, well, we had fun today, didn't we? It was working, but we had fun. Golfing, hanging out, going camping for a couple weeks. Of course, I bring my Bible. I wouldn't go anywhere without it. What's that thing, American Express? Don't go anywhere without it. Is that even a thing anymore? Okay, good. Anyway, I think it's important to rest. To find something to do. I don't think you need to be hunting every weekend or playing hockey every weekend. If I could, I'd love to rub a few. I mean, see, I almost said rub a few people out, but that's the old nature, see? Find recreation that you can rest. Work on a car. Come pick my car and work on it. Just rest, guys. We're so uptight in America, and the funny thing, we're in America. Where we should have, I mean, we've been blessed so huge that we're all tweaked. We got to have drive-through weed shops. If you would have told me, well, over 20 years now, praise God. No, 19 years ago. If you'd told me 20 years ago, I'd be in, hey, that's all right. Right by the Taco Bell. All right, all right. In fact, there's a donut shop. He rolls right up there right now. It's like, man, what a business-minded guy. But if you'd have told me 20 years ago, you're going to have drive-up weed shops, I'd have gone, you're out your mind. But that's what's going on right there, because people can't cope because they're not resting. You can't do it. You go get weed, you go get beer, you go get pills, you go do this, you go have an affair, you go have do this stuff. It's all because you're trying to stuff a hole that can only be filled by Jesus. It's just how it is. And you can keep trying and trying and wasting years and getting older and older and older. And it'll never make sense until you make Jesus at the throne of your life. It just won't make sense. It won't. It'll never. And you can say, well, a church is boring. Well, church might be boring, but Jesus is about as exciting as they come. Right? Or you could be at the wrong church. Come to a church where we recognize we're all losers. Because we placed our faith in Jesus, we got transferred from loser to the winner column. Isn't it amazing? I'm a winner. I've never been a winner ever, Pete. Thanks. This guy. Why do I love him? Smell the roses. Now, I got a story that I was trying to figure out how to work this in. Because it's just so good. Remember the part it says respond to God's promises? How do you respond in God's promises if you don't know what he promised? You can't. Now we go to this. Okay, get real close. This is really, really neat. Let me move this out of the way for dramatic effect. It's all planned. Thanks, Will, director. Now listen. So you know one of our favorite things to do, we like to hit the road in Illinois and tell people about Jesus. It's not a stretch. You see, it's hardwired into who we are. Why? Because we've been doing all the aforementioned things. It comes out of us naturally. Okay? It just does. And it will come out of you too. And I see it coming more and more out of you, and I get so excited when I see like people coming alive. And I see the real person. That may not have seen it, but I saw it. Now, anyway, we pull up to this house in Illinois somewhere. Now, I recognized it was a sister. She was black. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes people say, I don't see color. You're a liar. Okay? I have dark brown friends on the other side of the world that I call brothers. And I love those men and women. And I have dark-skinned guys here in America that they're black, and I love them. They're my brother. Amen? But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I don't see color, because I do. But only one color matters, and that's the red blood of Jesus. We know that. Shed for all of us. We're all equal in the eyes of the Lord. So anyway, I showed up, bare and out. Pop, 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 pop. I'd already talked to her, so I just knew. I just, something in my spirit, I knew. She was a sister in Christ. I said, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? I go, you know, it's a funny thing. We live our lives and our feet at the floor to make things or see things get holy. It's ironic that we're here to patch your holes and make things less holy. You know what I'm saying, sis? She goes, mm-hmm. You a fully set apart believer, ain't you? You know it. We're going to have revival up in here? Yeah, okay, cool. We go in there. I go, where's the hole? Right there. I know, okay, that's cool. We'll take care of that in a minute. Tell me about what's going on with Jesus. And we started this conversation. And she goes, you know, I already told the Lord. I'm calling my husband. His name is James Down. He's a deacon at the Baptist church. Her son's a preacher. I said, she goes, how did you know? And I said, I don't know how I knew. Part of it because I'm a fisherman, and it's what I do. It's in me. I can't stop and help. I can't help but talk about Jesus. I can't do it. Unless I'm sinning and not walking in the light, and then the last thing I want to do is talk about Jesus. So how about this? Walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with him and one another. If you're walking in darkness, you can't fellowship with him. You're certainly not going to talk about Jesus. So, we started talking. And I said, your house is beautiful. Really, just a really neat house. Really neat lady. She says, I had purpose to go to bed. She says, I'm not going. She works third shift, you see. She says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying there. Let's do it. Call James. We'll have a little revival on the phone. She called her husband. She said, he's like, just record it. Just record what you guys are doing. We're just talking about Jesus. And she told me a story. And she said this. She said, when I moved into this house, I moved from another house that was leaky. was leaking. We'd have to move from this room, and James would clean it up, move over to this room, he'd clean it up over there. And she finally said, you know, I can't take it. We need to get out of here. We started praying about the right house. I want the right house. You see, God's got plans for you. We know that, right? And Jesus came to give you an abundant life. A lot of you have come from places that your life was 1,000 miles from the life of abundance that God's called. Jesus paid for it. You have to access it by faith. We'll get to that in a second. So, anyway, she said, you know, when I moved in here, we prayed about it. And she goes, this house is beautiful. We spent more than we had probably. And we moved in here. We did some upgrades. Did this over here and a window and whatever. And she goes, we were pretty much out of money. And she said, I asked the guy when I bought it, sir, does it have any issues regarding water? Oh, no. Absolutely not. Guess what? She was a really bad storm. Came downstairs, see what's going on. Oh, she was like, I could not believe it because I knew that God had told me that this is the house. You know, confirmed by the word. It's confirmed by the counsel. It's confirmed by doing your own due diligence. God just didn't go, hey, Cheryl, here's the house. This is it. Boop, boop, boop. Like a neon light. Wouldn't that be easy if he did that? He doesn't do that. He gives you the word of God. He gives you counsel. He gives you a brain. So all this, and she came at the conclusion, this is the house for me. Anyway, she's cleaned it all up, and then she said, I think it's probably it. Did it again. Finally, she said, James, I can't take it anymore. We don't have any money, but I'm not living in a wet basement. She goes, but I know that God told me this is the house. Well, Mom, her mom lives with her. She came downstairs. She was a doubter. She said, I knew we shouldn't have done it. And she said, she's been a Christian her whole life. But she said, let me tell you something, Mom. We believed God. We read his word. We love Jesus. And this is the house. And that's all there is to it. She said, well, wouldn't you know it? Woods basements. They got connected to Woods basements. They came out. And they said, well, ma'am, you got a pretty significant issue. We're going to have to bust all this up, throw something in there, something over here. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And she said, we don't have any money. He said, well, we got a payment plan for you. $3,116. We can start digging it out. She goes, you might as well have been a billion. We don't have three. We spent it all to get in here. Well, wouldn't you know it? She goes, I'm telling you what, God. I'm telling you. Now, she's talking about Jesus, so she gets more excited than we do. It just sounds cooler. Black people get excited about Jesus. It sounds so cool. It's just awesome, man. We're just running around watching Barry work. It was great. Now, I did it. Okay, we worked together like peanut butter and jelly. What's Starsky without Hutch? What peanut butter without jelly? We worked together. Anyway, she said, well, I got a call the next day, or a letter in the mail from the Illinois Family of Division Services. You see, she had a kid from a different marriage. She'd been married to James for 16 years. And she said, I opened this letter and said, you need to call right now. We got money. We're tired of holding it. Now, she said, her eyes got, I'm telling you. She said, I called them up. She said, we're about ready. We can't take it. We need to get this money to you right now. How much is it? $3,115. Now, get this. That's a praise the Lord. Now, get this. She said, it isn't about the money. Who cares about the money? It's about the God that provided for me. That's what's up. I said, let me ask you a question. If you were standing here up to your eyeballs in water, would you continue to believe? She goes, you know I will. That's faith. That's endurance. I said, man, you are something. She prayed for us. We prayed for her. We got in. You know, we were all encouraged by this. I said, you know what? I'm going to use that this weekend because that is endurance. She was not going to stop believing just because her circumstances were a little bit less than what she thought. She was going to continue to believe the God that she follows, and she would have been all the way to the end. I go, Jesus, come back. You're still waiting. I believe you. I believe it. Guess what? When he came back and got you out of this place, you would be dry, right? But she believed the whole time. To me, I was just blown away by her endurance and toughness. Church, we need to get tougher. In my sleep, with the blindfolders on. Enough out of you. Pipe down in the back. Pray. You heard Alpha talk about it. Pray. Now, you would say, man, I just really stink at praying. And some of you talk so much, I'm surprised that you can't pray better. I mean, some of you guys, I just get in a conversation with, you're more tweeters than talkers. And that's fine. Tweet to Jesus. Man, I love you. You're amazing. You've taken me and turned my dirtbag husband into somebody respectable. You've taken my husband, who was just a cheater and an idiot, and you restored him. You've taken my drug addiction, and all I can do is say thank you. Thank you. What's wrong with that? Is that easy? So easy, right? Pray all day long. And I started thinking about, sometimes some of us have been walking with Jesus so long, we do pray all day long without ceasing. Because if you read the word, you're like, Paul says pray without ceasing. It's like, I got to work over here. I got a hole to fix, Jesus. Don't you know? I got this things to do. But wow, I'm praying to you. I'm praying. I'm letting you know, hey, I'm kind of busy, but you know, I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. Now, I'm reading this book. And this is a great book. I'm reading it with my son-in-law and my son, and we're having a great time. Jesus in the Midst of Success. This is a book that I'm not reading it for me. I'm reading it for my son and son-in-law, who happen to be very successful. But sometimes when you're so blessed, you can lose sight of the blesser, and you focus on the blessing. So my charge, my mantra has always been, I hope you make a ton of money to give away, but don't you ever forget who gave you the ability to make money. That's why we do these. But listen to what this guy says about prayer. I thought it was so good. You guys know who Jim Cimbala is? You read another good book, which is another really good book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Put that on your list to read. So you got Seizing Your Divine Moment or Eyes Wide Open Re-Release from Irwin McManus, and then you have Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, which some of the notes in here are from. He says this. You ready? Highlighter. See that? Okay. Learn that from Lynn, who learned it from her dad. The problem is that we can't pray those first two words. Jesus taught us, Our Father. Once we've got those down, all the rest is easy. When a man comes, John Bunyan said, in the strength of the Spirit and cries, Father, that word spoken in faith is better than 1,000 prayers. We can say the words, of course, but if we could say them believing that God is our Father and understand what that means, the floodgates of joy would open up. That's so good. Our Father. And I found myself lately, because I would say, Lord Jesus, do this, Jesus. But I'm really trying to, you know, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. You can pray the prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can do that, but it's a model prayer. So every prayer, everything you say to Jesus, Our Father, my Father, Father. And it's a game changer. Simple, though, isn't it? It's so simple. And we're like, I just don't know how to pray. Should I do that Acts thing? Affirmation, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You could do that. But I just suggest you make it simple. Father, man, I've really blown it this time. I've really messed it up. Or Father, pray for my son. Or Father, can you pray for our country? It's a mess. How about every single prayer, Father, help us. We need your help. I don't know what to do. What's wrong with that prayer? That's a simple prayer, isn't it? Isn't that good? I think we make it too complicated. Look at your neighbor and say, stop making it so complicated. Did that make you guys feel uncomfortable when I said, look at your neighbor? Okay, I'm going to find something else to make you uncomfortable. Yeah, right. Okay, here's one. A helpless soul says to himself, God's not... Back that up. A helpless soul says to himself, God does not answer me because I do not pray right. But watch this. My helpless friend, your helplessness is the most powerful plea which rises up to the tender heart of the Father. Did you get that? He's going, yeah, I know. you stink at praying, but man, I just love to hear from you. Is that great? We make it so complicated. A humble and contrite heart knows that it can merit nothing before God, and that all that is necessary is to be reconciled to one's helplessness and let our holy and almighty God care for us. Is that good? Is that good? Think about it. We're learning. We're learning steps on how to endure. That's what's happening here, right? Because we know there's coming a time that this isn't, we're not going to, right now we're practicing. We're in the huddle. Okay. 10-4, deep out six, or what other football players do. Okay, let's do it. Let's go. And then you go. Practice. One day, when your back's against the wall, you're going to need to know the stuff we're studying right now. And time will tell if you've done your studying. Final story. You ready for it? So I remember in high school, I had to wrestle this guy named Kenny Entwistle, which Randy works with, knows him well. And he was a stud. He was a stud wrestler, and I could not beat him because I didn't have the mind I have now, right? The final time I wrestled off, I had already lost before I stepped onto the mat because I lost it up here. I knew he was going to beat me. So I lost 13-8, probably the closest anybody else came to him. He went on to go to third state, and I went on to be junior varsity captain of the wrestling team as a senior. Talking about... But see, something happened in practice because I'd been doing it so long. I knew when the coach looked away. I knew all the drills. Nobody in the place knew that I wasn't there. I was 1,000 miles away except for me. But a funny thing happened. When I go to Riverview Gardens, and I had won the tournament two times. But the guy that I'd beaten the year mopped me up because I had not done the practice. Oh, I was there. I learned all the right things to do, all the right, like many of you maybe in this church. You know what to say. You know what to do. You come in and push the vacuum cleaner around. Maybe you dust this down, and maybe you do that. But the time of testing will come. And if you have not done the things that we've been suggesting to you through practice and repetition and all the things that we're talking about, time, you'll get mopped up. That's the sobering part. Yes? But it doesn't have to be that way. I can look around at this room right now and go, no, I think I feel pretty good about this team. I do. I feel pretty good about this team. Isn't it cool being in a small church where you kind of know everybody? I don't want to know what you're drinking in your coffee. I don't care. But to know that you're really taking this stuff seriously and you're trying and God and you're accessing God's divine power to give you the ability to do everything we've been talking about. Right? Isn't that cool? Protect your heart from bitterness and envy when you see somebody succeeding. You remember, like, be like John. Said, I step aside. Let Peter be the man. Right on. Go for it. Did you guys learn anything about enduring, some practical steps? Pray. Okay. Guess what? We went through every single note. Go me. Go Jesus, actually. And you, who said that? Was that Campbell? Danny, that was awesome. And you endured it. Praise God. That was funny. I think I hate you, but that was funny. I'm going to say this. I love being in a church that you can give trouble to. And I'm a favorite target. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm kind of a goober. I'm okay with that, right? And I love having fun. But we should take this stuff seriously. I know that you guys do, right? And it's the desire of our heart and the Father's heart that you take this seriously and you're growing. Because we are going to be heading, I think we're already there. We're heading into a time of some stormy, stormy seas, right? But when we have Christ on the center of our life, we don't have to sweat it. How many times does he say, don't fear, do not fear, do not fear? And we've accessed him. We can go before him in total confidence, knowing that he loves us, he cares about us, he cares about everything in your life. Isn't it great? It's wonderful. But if there's somebody in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus from a personal standpoint, you have not been born again, come and see one of us. And let's just talk about it. Why not make this day unlike any other day in your life, that you could be born again? You know, the Bible says, be born again. And if you're not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you won't see it or enter it. You'll be outside looking in. And most of my life, I've been outside looking in until I said yes to Jesus and I repented and I was born again. Then I became an insider looking out into a world that's lost. I drive by them every day. Lynn and I were in the parking lot over here just earlier watching somebody drive his bike up to the weed shop. And I was like, now that's interesting to me. He probably doesn't know Jesus. He's probably not born again. He's going to get on two wheels and get high. Now, that's dangerous. But I also see lost people all the time looking for what you have inside of you. So I pray that you'd be loose-lipped about the God that saved you. And if you don't know him, come and see us. Grab somebody and go, hey, man, I want to know more about it. I may not be ready to be born again. I may not be ready. When it's such an easy decision just to surrender your heart and give it to Christ. It's such an easy thing. It was hard for him. It should be easy for you, right? So if that's you, find one of us, and we'll pray with you and kind of point you to Jesus, because you're not going to hear anything, but it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's all Jesus, right? Father God, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your divine power, that we can be overcomers. And we know that you overcame the world, Lord. So when we're in you, we overcome the world. Lord, help us as we go out to be ambassadors for you. Help us to be ministers of reconciliation. Wow, what a great honor, Lord, and what a tremendous responsibility at the same time. We lift up this congregation. Again, we pray for those that are traveling and those that are under the weather. And we just pray that we continue. Lord, continue giving us that grace and that peace that you promised us. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Know something to do in Wisconsin, we learned.